Let us unite our hearts together in prayer, and we'll ask you to stand, please, for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, we enter into thy presence this evening hour. We come before thee in a spirit of praise and thanksgiving, blessing the Lord our God for the abundance of his mercies and the greatness of his faithfulness unto us. We thank thee tonight for every good and every perfect blessing which we have received from thy hand. All such blessings come from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We thank thee, Lord, for all that thou hast given to us, for all that thou hast done for us. We rejoice in thy great love, wherewith thou hast loved us. We thank thee that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank thee, Lord, that you sent not your Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth in him is not condemned, while he that believeth not is condemned already, and justly so. And so we thank thee for thy so great salvation. We thank thee for the opportunity of gathering here tonight with thy people in thy presence, around thy word, and then around the throne of heavenly grace in prayer. We pray that thou wilt bless our coming together tonight, that thou wilt fill this house with a real sense of thy presence. We know that thou art with us, for we have thy word for it. For thou hast said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. But we pray tonight that we might have a deeper, fuller awareness and consciousness of thy presence with us tonight. Pray that thou wilt draw near to every heart. And as we would look into thy holy word, we pray that we might hear the voice of God speaking to us, that we might hear what God the Lord hath to say unto us, and that we might have submissive wills and obedient hearts to do the word and the will of God. Our Father, we pray that thou wilt not only bless us here, but any who may be watching on at this service in their homes. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless them. May there be a word in season for them. And we pray, Father, that thou wilt undertake, especially for the minister of this church at this time and his family, we pray that you will keep your hand upon him, and may he be well and soon be back here with his congregation to minister to the flock over which thou hast made him an overseer. So we commit our meeting now to thee and pray that thou wilt bless us. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to read together from the word of the Lord as we find it in the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, and chapter 6, please. Ephesians, and we're in the 6th chapter. We're going to take up our reading at the first 10 of the chapter. Paul writes, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. And there we'll end our reading. And we know that God will bless the reading of his holy word to our hearts for his name's sake. We're going to sing another hymn together. It's a hymn 625, well-known hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear. What a Privilege to Carry Everything to God in Prayer." Once again, we'll keep our seats as we sing. Once again tonight in God's holy word to that sixth chapter of the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. And tonight I want to direct your attention for a little while, especially to the verse 18, 19, and 20. Paul writes, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The opening words of verse 18 read, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." In this passage of Scripture before us, we find that the Apostle Paul likens the Christian life unto a warfare, and Christians unto soldiers, so that anyone who imagines the Christian life to be an easy pathway through life to heaven would need to think again. It's anything but an easy pathway. And indeed, if our pathway is easy, then we should examine ourselves and see what's going wrong. Because we are called not only to be sons of God, and bless God we are, we're called not only to be servants of God, and bless God we are, but we're called to be soldiers of God, to fight the good fight of faith. And so the apostle here likens the Christian life unto a warfare. And in these verses, he identifies the enemy for us. Verses 11 and 12, the apostle says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The devil. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So here we have the enemy with which we are to do battle identified. We wrestle not with flesh and blood merely. Flesh and blood, the men of this world, the rulers of this world, who are the enemies of God and of Christ and of his church, they're only the devil's foot soldiers. That's all they are. Behind them, and behind every evil work and every evil thing, there is a great evil, wicked power, Satan himself, and all the forces of hell. That's the enemy with which we have to do battle. And he's a very real enemy. Very real enemy. And sometimes we Christians forget this or fail to realize this and wonder why at times we get down, we get under different problems and difficulties and circumstances, and we forget that the devil attacks us, and he seeks to bring us down and to destroy us and to destroy our faith and to stop us praying and to discourage us in our Christian lives. So the apostle here tells us not only that we're soldiers, that we are engaged in the warfare, but he identifies the enemy with which we are to fight. And thank God he doesn't only identify the enemy, which is a frightening enemy when you stop to think of it. It's an enemy which is beyond our power to confront in our own strength. But God hasn't left us to confront this enemy in our own strength. And Paul tells us that God has provided a means whereby we are to do battle against the enemy. He tells us that we are to take unto us, verse 13, the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You'll notice that our weapons are not carnal. We don't fight this battle with literal swords or guns or bombs or whatever. We fight this battle with spiritual weapons. And we're to have our loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That indicates having a firm foothold in the gospel. To have the gospel as your foundation and to stand firm on it in the course of this battle. In the ancient times, in warfare, of course, which was very much hand-to-hand fighting, how important it was to have your feet firmly established. If you slipped, it could be fatal to you. Your enemy could strike you down. So you had to be have your feet well firmly planted as you did battle with the enemy. And so we need to have our feet well planted in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're to put on the helmet of salvation and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then the Apostle says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and having and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So here is another great weapon. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, but we have another mighty weapon, namely prayer, which we are to be engaged in at all times. Now, I'm glad that our presbytery has put forth and put out a call to us all to humble ourselves and to seek God in this time of distress in our land and nation. I'm glad that I belong to a denomination that believes in prayer. Paul certainly believed very much in prayer and tells us we're to pray always with all manner of prayer. And this is the great duty and responsibility of every Christian. Why should we pray? Because, of course, it is our duty to pray. As Christians, we are obligated to pray. And if we don't pray, then we sin against God, and we displease God, and we grieve God. So we ought to pray, because it's our duty to pray. But we ought to pray because it is natural for a child of God to pray. If we profess to be Christians and do not pray, then I'm afraid we need to look well to our profession of faith in Christ and our hope of heaven. It's natural for a child of God to pray. When a child is born into this world, naturally speaking, the first thing it does is cry. Cries. And if it doesn't cry, then people get worried. And so it is when you're born again, the first thing you do is cry. Cry in prayer unto God. An infant crying isn't always doing so with any real intelligent understanding of what it's crying for. It's saying, I'm hungry or I'm uncomfortable, I need help. It doesn't know it's saying that, but the parent knows that, but it's still a cry. And so when we are saved, we cry unto God instinctively. But we pray because it's an unspeakable privilege to pray. Think about it. What is prayer? Prayer is coming into the presence of Almighty God. And this is a privilege that has been bought for us and won for us at a great price. Even the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we come to God through Christ and through his rent flesh, the rent veil. He has obtained this privilege for us through his blood and suffering on Calvary's cross. It's a great privilege bought at a great price that we, the fallen sons of Adam's race, can come into the presence of God and talk with God. Talk with God. You wonder why some Christians neglect such a privilege. That we can come and talk to God. As a child talks to his father. Sometimes a child talks a lot of gibberish, but the father never grows weary of hearing its little voice. And so we can come and talk to Almighty God. And that's a wonderful privilege. But we ought to pray because prayer and this access to God makes the omnipotent power of God at our disposal. We cannot begin to imagine what prayer can accomplish, and what prayer has accomplished, and what prayer does accomplish. Prayer accomplishes mighty things. Prayer lays hold upon God, his omnipotence, his almighty power, and accomplishes great things. Things which we could never accomplish in our own strength, by our own power. But prayer brings the power of heaven down to us and into every situation we find ourselves in. And of course, we can never win this war in which we are engaged if we don't pray and if we don't know that power in our lives. So we need to pray. Prayer, in a sense, is a very simple procedure. It is essentially earnestly requesting or asking God to supply our needs. That's basically what it is. Our Lord Jesus has told us, ask and you shall receive. The Lord said that. But how many of us believe that? Ask and you shall receive. Not you might receive, possibly you will receive. But ask and ye shall receive, the Lord says. And he tells us simply to ask. Whatever else a believer may fail to do, he should never fail to ask. For we have many needs. And God tells us to ask him to provide our need. So then, if we are really in Christ, we must be praying people. And we ought to be always praying. If there's a difficulty in our minds, let us ask for the Holy Spirit to resolve it for us. If there be any necessity in our homes, let us ask for our Heavenly Father to supply that need, whatever it may be. If there be any weakness in our spiritual nature, our spiritual life, let us ask God, for God can strengthen us. Let us bring it to God and tell him, Lord, I have a problem praying. I'm not good at praying. I find it hard to pray. I don't know what to pray for. I don't know how to pray as I ought. Well, tell God about it. Lord, my faith is very weak. I'm such a weak believer. Lord, strengthen my faith. Because faith comes from God. Bring it to God in prayer. It's a simple matter of asking. If there be any longing desire of our soul, which even leads to great heaviness of spirit, let us ask for our desire to be granted, if it is a right one, and our heaviness to be removed. Just ask, says Jesus. Surely we all know how to ask. There's no requirement of fine words and forms of words and eloquence. We just need to ask God in our own words, in our own way. And sometimes Christians, they get into a bit of a bind by this. They listen to other Christians who've maybe been on the road for years, and they've learnt all the verses that you can quote in prayer, and they can quote the hymns and have some eloquence as they speak. You'd think they were preaching. They've got great fluency. And some poor Christian says, well, I can't pray like that. You don't need to pray like that. You just pray in your own words. Tell me, do you honestly think that God is impressed by your memory and ability to quote verses of hymns and scripture? Do you think he's impressed by your eloquence? Not a bit. God's not so much interested in our words. God is interested in our hearts. Not in any display of oratory or any such thing. So ask. Ask. Our text tells us that not only are we to ask, but we're to ask perpetually. We're to be always praying. So we're told, the apostle says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always with him, always praying. That doesn't mean we're to get up in the morning and never miss a minute without saying and talking, in a sense, to God, uninterrupted flow of speech. Obviously, that's not practical. But we're to be always praying about every situation, every day, everything that arises. We're to bring it all to God in prayer. I read of George Mueller, and you've heard of George Mueller, the man who had orphanages, and he fed and clothed and looked after hundreds and thousands of orphans through the years, and he never told anybody about the need, only God. He exercised faith in God, and he told God about his need, and I read that he even prayed over the nib of his pen, over the nib of his pen. That might bring a smile to her face, and we might think that's ridiculous, but to him it was important. And he brought it. Nothing's too small. Nothing's too small or too great. We should be praying always, perpetually, continually. The devil would like to stop us praying. He works hard at it. You know, I remember in my own experience at one time, sort of looking at my prayers and listening to some of my brethren who can pray so very, very well. And I was a wee bit down on it. I said, how could God listen to me? How could God listen to my poor prayers compared to such and such a one? And I nearly felt like giving up. I felt I can't pray. So I told God, Lord, I can't pray. I don't know how to pray. And I was nearly tempted to stop praying as a young Christian. And then a wee voice, a thought came to me. If your prayers are so ineffective, William, why is the devil so keen to get you to stop? Because it's not God wants you to stop. It's the devil wants you to stop. Why is he so keen to get you not to pray? Because he knows that your prayers have failed with God. Your prayers, William, in their own right, they're puny, feeble things. But what we must remember is this. Every prayer, first of all, is prompted by the Holy Spirit. Because if the Holy Spirit doesn't prompt us to pray, any true prayer, then we'll not pray. So it's prompted by the Spirit. And not only is it prompted by the Spirit, but it's taken by the Savior and it's mingled with his prayers. He adds, as it were, his incense to it and makes our prayers presentable to the Father. And then you have the Father who listens with great delight to his praying child and who has commanded us and bidden us and encouraged us with untold numbers of verses and scriptures to come to him in prayer. So I didn't give up, thank God. We are to always pray at all times, in all circumstances, over all things. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Never make a move without praying about it. Oh, if the devil can get you to stop praying, he has won a great victory. A great victory. He's cutting off your supply line. And armies, of course, depend on the supply line. An army is only as good as its supply line. If the enemy can cut off its supply line, as Hitler tried to do with the submarines, cut off the supply lines to Britain by sinking all our supply ships, this Hitler had the wit to know, if I can cut off their supply lines, I'll win this war. And the devil knows, if he can cut you off from prayer, he's cutting off your supply line, and he'll win the war. He's subtle, you know. So, never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Spurgeon said, true prayer is an inverted promise. I thought that was a lovely thought. It's an inverted promise. In other words, it's the Holy Spirit that moves you to pray, and if he moves you to pray, it's more or less God has guaranteed to answer what he has moved you to pray for. So God always answers prayer. Now, there are things we ask for that God knows we'd be better without. And I've learned over the years to look back on things I've prayed for and I didn't get them. Then I said, well, thank God I didn't get them, because it wouldn't have been good for me. God will not answer your prayers that he knows you would be better without receiving the actual thing you're asking for. He'll answer in some other way. I think I've said it here and told it here before. Being a parent's a great thing. I remember, I think I've used the illustration before, and I'm sure I have. One of my boys, when he was a little guy, we used to give him the syrupy stuff when he's teething. And he loved it. He loved it. We'd give him a spoonful of it, and he'd say, more, Daddy, more, more. Of course, we wouldn't give him more. We know a spoonful would do him good and help him and relieve him, but we knew too much of it would do him harm. He didn't know that. He just had a sweet taste. He thought it was nice. He would like it. But we knew better. God always knows better. And so I'm glad that God doesn't give me everything I ask, but he only gives me what he knows is good for me, what is right, what is wholesome, what is according to his will, for I don't want it otherwise. So pray always. We're to pray perpetually. Prayer is to be universal. Praying always with all prayer. Every kind of prayer. Every kind of prayer. Of course, private prayer. We are not to neglect that. We should get alone with God. Get a wee quiet spot in the house somewhere if it's possible. Sometimes it's hard if you have a wee family running about. But try to get a spot where you can get alone with God in prayer. Sometimes you might not be able to get it in the house. I remember when the children were growing up, I used to go over the fields and talk to the Lord walking along the fields. I'll never forget, one of my boys followed me one day. I didn't see him, and he hid behind a bush, and I was walking along and I was taken up with the Lord in prayer, and I didn't see him, and all of a sudden he jumped out from behind the bush and he had a heart attack. Get alone with God. Private prayer. Pour out your heart with God. You see, there are things you have to say to God that are not for the ears of the prayer meeting. They're not for anybody else's ears. They're your private things, which you have to talk to the Lord about. So get alone with God and tell him all that concerns you, and all those private things that no one else needs to hear or ought to hear. Pray in private. And of course, pray in public. By all means, it's a great help whenever we have prayer meetings and people participate in the prayer meetings. And some of the prayer meetings I've had, well, in some areas, some people they didn't like the sound of their own voice. And you're sitting hoping, wish somebody else would pray. There's an awful silence here, you know. So it's a great help when people pray. And by all means, pray. That's why we come together publicly to unite our hearts. You see, whenever you're praying, we're all praying, if we are here in the right spirit, because we're praying, we're saying amen to your prayers. Your prayers become our prayers. We're joining in your prayer. We're joining behind you, and we're saying amen, Lord. Do that for us, Lord. So there needs to be, of course, private prayer, and there needs to be public prayer. We're to use every kind of prayer. And there needs to be family prayer. Don't neglect that. It's a busy age in which we live, isn't it? So much to fill up our time, to take our attention. And sometimes we can neglect to pray in our family. But that's a big mistake. A big mistake. Don't neglect prayer in the family. Gather your children around you. If the children are up and gone, and there's just the two of you left, sit down and read the scriptures together and pray. And pray wherever you are, whatever the circumstances. I often think of Nehemiah before Artaxerxes. You remember how he went in to the king? He was the king's cupbearer, and he went in with the cup, and his face, his countenance was fallen. He was sad because he had heard bad news from Jerusalem, how the gates were burned with fire and so on. And he was scared going in before the king, because you didn't do that with the Babylonian king. You could lose your head for that sort of thing. And so he went in, and the king noticed his countenance was fallen, and the king asked him, "What's wrong with you?" And his heart was pounding. And he says, "Then I prayed to the God of heaven." And he was talking to the king, and the king was talking to him. But in that instant, in his heart, he was calling on God. And God answered that prayer. And so we are to use all forms and all manner of prayer. And of course, prayer is to be offered for all saints. So we're told. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit for all saints. Do you pray for your brethren? To try that. Especially those brethren you don't like very well. It's hard to pray for them if you don't like them. You know, there's some people you can love, but you couldn't make. That is the truth. Try praying for them. But to pray for all saints. You know any Christian that needs your prayers? Pray for them. All that you know, pray for them. Some people lament, I have nothing to pray. But what? You haven't? Listen, if you pray for all the saints that you know, it'll keep you going for a brief while. Praying for all saints. So we're told here, I'm not making this up, I'm just reading to you the word of God. We're to pray for all saints. You see, this battle we're in is not just our wee battle and our wee corner of the battlefield. We're to pray for all God's people everywhere. Say, "Lord, I have brethren and sisters in Christ around the world. They speak a different language, of a different color of skin, of a different culture, background. I don't know anything about them. But they're my brethren and sisters in Christ, and Lord, I pray for them. Help them in this battle, Lord. Remember thy church right around the globe. Right around the globe. And we're to pray for God's ministers. I'll put that wee bit in. I used to find that hard when I was in a particular church. Asking people to just pray for me, like, you know. But now that I'm an old fella retired and going about, it doesn't matter, you might not have me back, but it doesn't really matter. I'll get on, finish out my wee day. But Paul says, and for me, don't forget about me. Help me. Pray that God will give me boldness, that I might speak the word as I ought to speak, that I might preach the gospel as it ought to be preached. My, we need to pray for our ministers, our pastors, our teachers, our preachers. We need to pray for them instead of criticizing them. How many Christians come in, they listen to a brother, and they don't like his delivery, they don't like his tone of voice, they don't like his mannerisms, and they criticize him. Oh, he's sound enough doctrinally, but we just don't like the way he says things. We're to pray for our ministers. Pray for your ministers. For they're the ones the devil attacks. They're out the forefront of the battle for you. They're leading the battle. And that, they're the ones that the devil will go for, to pull them down. You need to pray for them. In our denomination, of course, before we get a minister, we make out a call. I've often thought of this. Make out a call, and the call comes out to the minister, and I can't remember all the words it's put on, but we, such and such a congregation, being persuaded of your abilities as a minister of the gospel, blah, blah, extend to you a call to be our minister, and we promise to support you financially and in prayer. Yeah, that's in there. And the congregation come along and they sign it. You know what they're doing when they're saying? They're saying, I promise that I support you, sir, with my prayers. And then they go away and they never pray for the minister. Or they fall out with them, or they criticize them, or they find fault with them. And they forget their promise. I want to tell you, God doesn't forget your promise that you put your name to. And God will call you to account. You promised. And you broke your promise. Ah, but he did this, he did. He needed your prayers, not your criticism. He needed your support, not your opposition. Pray for your ministers. Pray that God will give them boldness to say what needs to be said, no matter who likes it. And let me tell you, that's hard. I know it's hard. Some things need to be said, and you know full well there's somebody sitting down there and they're not going to like what I have to say. And there's going to be trouble here. Well, you need boldness. If it's the truth of God, it needs to be said. In love, better not forget that, but I know I've known some who have plenty of boldness, but they've no love. So they just scold a lot. No, we're not to scold, but we're to speak boldly the truth in love. We're to be faithful to God's word, to preach the whole counsel of God. Pray that God will give them utterance that they may make clear the gospel of Christ. Pray that God will give your minister power and a clear understanding of the mind and will of God. If he's not too clear in something, pray that God will open his eyes and show him the right way and the truth. Not your way, but the right way. Pray that God will give your ministers, our ministers, Christ-like hearts to care for the church of God. A self-sacrificing spirit. Oh, when you read the Gospels and you read the folly and foolishness of the disciples, the 12 disciples, if you please, the silly things they said and did, and the Lord sighed in the spirit, but he loved them anyway. Having loved his own, he loved them on to the end. He had a heart for them, a heart for the people. He knew what it was to weep, even over those who hated him, those who wanted to crucify and did crucify him. He wept over Jerusalem. He wept over mankind at the grave of Lazarus. It wasn't just a matter of weeping for Lazarus' two sisters. Of course he felt sympathy for them, but he was looking at what sin has done to man, and he wept for mankind. Oh, pray that God will give our ministers a heart that cares like Christ cared for the souls of men. That when they preach in hell, they'll not preach with a dry eye, but they'll preach with the tears, if not flowing down their face, flowing in their hearts, feeling for the lost. Telling them with the tenderest compassion, oh, if you don't trust Christ, if you're not saved, you'll go to hell. Let that compassion be heard and known and felt by those that are being addressed. So pray. Pray for our ministers. Pray for your minister. And we're to be watchful in prayer, watching it on to verse 18, watching for opportunities to pray, watching for the spirit of prayer. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. Watching against all that would hinder prayer. Watching out for things to pray for. Prayer is to be offered continually for the furtherance of the gospel, especially verse 19. The apostle wanted them to pray that God would help him to make known the mystery of the gospel. Oh, dear brethren and sisters, we are called to prayer. Our presbytery has called us to prayer, but the Lord has called us to prayer long before that. And Paul calls us to pray here, saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Oh, may God teach us to pray like this for his name's sake. Amen. Now we're going to seek the Lord in prayer. We'd encourage you to pray. I hope the message has been an encouragement to you to pray. Not a discouragement, but an encouragement. Let us seek the Lord, praying one after the other. As you said, it's good to pray in public. It encourages the others that are here and that are around, and we will join with you in saying amen to your prayers. Father, we thank thee for thy word, and we pray thee to bless it to our hearts. May we not be hearers only, but may we be doers of thy word. Help us, Lord, to pray always with all prayer and supplication, praying for all the saints, praying in the Spirit, watching unto prayer, praying for thy ministers, that you will give them grace to make known the mystery of the gospel, praying for our brethren and sisters around the world. Lord, teach us to pray. Help us to pray now, for Jesus' sake. Amen.